Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, Will. What's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing okay, you know, despite the craziness going on, you know, which I'll get into quickly.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm doing okay. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here on here as usual.
And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for, you know, coming on Sports Urban Legend. You know, I'm William Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew. And on today's show, I'm going to be talking about, you know, AEW, Tyson, you know, fighting Jericho, which is leading up to a possible feud. You know, the revival, you know, the former WWE tag team, they made their debut. And also talk about the WWE side, Lashley versus McIntyre made official, you know. And talk about what else is going on in WWE and, you know, the world of sports. But, of course, most importantly, you know, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But, yeah, before we get to the usual talks, you know, on this show we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. You know, I feel, you know, compelled that, you know, today we're going to talk about something, you know, a little bit off topic, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we have to, you know, we got to discuss what's going on, you know, right now. And of course, I'm talking about the crazy situation and the racist situation that led to George Floyd losing his life. And, you know, my condolences go out to him and his family and all victims of, you know, these racist attacks that, you know, innocent people have been suffering for God knows how long. I mean, it's inexcusable that the cop had his knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes for no reason, and you know, as a result of that, he lost his life. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out, you know, to George Floyd and his family, man. There's really no words to say about this. I mean, it's unfortunately, you know, stories like this keep happening over and over again, and there has to be a stop to this. What's your thoughts on everything going down, man?
Yeah, it's just crazy, you know, what's been going on the last several days with this whole George Floyd thing. Yeah, my condolences to his family, his friends. Steven Jackson was one of his friends that I just found out. Yeah, my condolences to him, you know, and everyone affected by this. You know, this keeps happening over and over again, you know, all the way going back to Rodney King incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would think, after that Rodney King incident, you know, police departments nationwide would tell their officers how to act when confronted by the public. But, you know, just happening over and over again with Eric Garner, Ahmad Arbery. Ahmad Arbery, he was actually chased by citizens and shot
yeah.
down, not by police, but, you know, it was still a racist act.
Well, the father was a former police officer, but, yeah, he wasn't, you know, he's retired. But,
right.
you know,
right.
unfortunately, you know, a lot of racist stuff has been going on. I mean, obviously, you know, in this country, you know, dark past, racism has a, you know, a huge part of it, you know, which, you know, obviously resulted in slavery, segregation, and all different forms of discrimination. But, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's got to stop, man. We're all human beings, no matter where we come from. I mean, it literally goes without saying that, you know, stuff like this needs to stop.
Yeah,
and people.
I agree with you. I agree. Something needs to happen, you know, for this to end. But, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon, you know, because you always think after one story, okay, you know, there's going to be something done. Then you keep, there's another, these stories keep popping out of
yeah,
nowhere.
I know. Exactly. The Arbery story, I mean, it was the last one before this. You know, people are dealing with coronavirus. We still haven't found a cure. People are still dying from it. Obviously, the numbers are going down. And then this stuff is still going down. I mean, this country is divided, man. It's crazy. I mean, my thoughts and, you know, prayers go out to Floyd and every victim, you know, who suffered, at the hands of racism. You know, I mean, I don't even know what to say, man. I mean, I could literally talk a whole episode about this, you know, but my thoughts and prayer go out to, you know, the Floyd family. I mean, it goes without saying.
Indeed. Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, there's no right way to, you know, shift gears, you know, from this story. But, I mean, we'll definitely keep our eyes open on what's going on with this story, and hopefully everybody who was part of this horrible situation will be brought to justice. I mean, you know, obviously they got arrested, but, you know, we'll see what happens in the future. But shifting gears, let's talk a little AEW, man. And you know, the big news is that Mike Tyson, he made his he made his debut in AEW on Saturday. You know, the last Saturday. To present Cody Rhodes with the inaugural TNT championship, because the TNT championship is essentially the
it's like a TV title.
Yeah, it's a TV title / intercontinental kind of title for them, their second tier title that they have now. Cody Rhodes defeated Lance Archer, which I spoke about on the show. You know, I did a live results show last week, in case you guys want to find out about the results and what I thought, you know, about the show while it was going on. Yeah, that was on last week. Feel free to check that out, you know, after this show is over. But, the most interesting that happened this past Wednesday was, you know, the Inner Circle, they were reeling from their loss in the Stadium Stampede match, which, you know, I didn't see the match. You know, I revealed the results of what happened. Obviously, the Elite defeated the Inner Circle, you know, Jericho's team. And the Inner Circle was having a pep rally to try to, you know, encouraged, you know, Jericho was trying to encourage his teammates, you know, after they had a huge loss. And unfortunately for them, they already had merchandise of them winning that match. So they had to try to sell off the, you know, try to make a, you know, a buck off their merchandise. So basically Jericho called out Mike Tyson because he remembered 10 years ago on Monday Night Raw, you know, when he was still in WWE, that that Mike Tyson betrayed him when they were tag team partners against DX, you know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, which, of course, that story stemmed from the WrestleMania 14 angle where Stone Cold Steve Austin had the face off with Mike Tyson in his debut inside the WWE ring. And then Mike Tyson shortly after that revealed that he was aligned. He aligned himself with DX. And then, of course, at WrestleMania 14, after Stone Cold defeated Shawn Michaels in his, you know, which resulted in his first retirement match in 90, his first retirement in 98, Mike Tyson revealed to Shawn Michaels that he was a Stone Cold fan all along, and he knocked Shawn Michaels all the way to retirement, which Shawn Michaels would return 4 years later after, you know, he became a born again Christian, and, you know, he mended the fences that he had with all the, you know, the people he worked with. But so fast forward to 2010, Shawn Michaels wanted to get his revenge for Mike Tyson betraying the DX. So then in the ring, they revealed it was a ruse that Mike Tyson and DX were, you know, mended their fences from 98. And Mike Tyson proceeded to knock out Mike Tyson. And this, and, you know, basically Chris Jericho hasn't forgotten that from 10 years ago, and now he wants his revenge. So as a result, you know, they had like a in-ring brawl where basically the locker rooms cleared out and Mike Tyson had like UFC guys as his backup. And, you know, it looks like a very intriguing match.
Yeah, we have the clip.
Where is it? It was right there. Where is it, huh?
Who drank the bubbly? Could it be? Mike Tyson and his posse.
Mike Tyson has arrived.
There's little Henry. Would you look at this iron Mike Tyson answering the call of Le Champion Chris Jericho. Who do you recognize there, Excalibur, besides Mike? Mike Tyson has got some heavy hitters. He's got Henry Cejudo next to him. And Vitor Belfort.
Oh, this is nasty. You might want to turn your heads, folks. This, I got, you got a piece of leaves
of hold
here.
On a second. Calm down. Got your thugs out here. You educated gentlemen. I'm going to say this to you one time, Tyson. Shut your mouth when I'm talking to you. Huh? You understand me? I have been dreaming of this moment for 10 years. You turned on me. You looked me in the eye and said I could trust you. And then you turned on me and you knocked me out.
Because you're a sucker, man. You deserved that, man, because you were wrong. You stole the championship. You're wrong, man.
Shut up! All you listen to me. I'm going to give you one chance. And one chance only. I'm going to demand that you apologize to me for knocking me out. Hold on. Hey, hold on. Your thugs need to shut up. I'll give you, hold on.
Well, you're talking
I'm
going to
say
it
one more time.
Here. Take a
I'm
going
to give
this.
You one chance to apologize to me, or I'm going to knock you the hell out. Apologize to me right now. Okay, you look great. Apologize to me before I knock your damn teeth down your throat. You understand me?
Don't hold your breath, Le Champion.
Oh, Jericho! Oh, no! Just look at Tyson! Tyson trying to look at right hand on Belfort by Jericho!
My God, all hell is breaking loose! All hell is breaking loose here!
The locker room is empty to restrain Chris Jericho and Iron Mike Tyson!
Fighting the inner circle!
My God, our guest, Mike Tyson and company, are raising hell as a fight in the ring. Look at Hager trying to get him some. Cody trying to restrain Tyson. It's a damn street warfare here. Jericho struck the first blow, and Tyson didn't take too kindly with it.
This has completely broken down. Chris Jericho in the center of this melee.
A lot of combat power in this one. And it is breaking down in Jacksonville here tonight. This steamy hot night just got hotter.
And just sheer pandemonium inside the ring. Mike Tyson's trying to come back.
Look how many are trying to hold him back and they can't.
Tyson trying to get back at Jericho. Tyson wants Jericho and Jericho wants Tyson.
Belfort and Cejudo trying to hold back Iron Mike.
My God, we didn't plan for this. I can tell you this right now, folks. We apologize for the chaos, but by God, it is what it is. Jericho being restrained by half the locker room and all the inner circle, and Mike Tyson. Tyson and Jericho. What a night it's been, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, next on TNT, it's it for Tony Schiavone, Next Caliber. I'm Jim Ross. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week, everybody. My God, there's chaos.
That's an interesting. That's going to be interesting for you, that thing does become official.
Yeah. Interested to see how that match turns out.
Mm-hmm.
If it does happen.
Would it be a wrestling match? Would it be a boxing match? Or would it be a mixed martial arts match? I mean, we don't even know. I mean, hasn't been made official yet, but just them teasing it, it could even be a Inner Circle versus Tyson and his MMA friends, tag team match. Who knows? Survivor Series match. Who knows? But I think the best thing for them to do is a 1-on-1 matchup.
Yeah, Mike Tyson. At this age, he looks like he can still knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even take that risk.
Yep. But yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by that. And then the other major news that happened in AEW was that the Revival, they made their debut. They changed their name. I think they're called FTR or something like that. Let me see what they were called, because I think because it was Dash Wilder and Todd Dawson, but they changed their name. I was going to say, yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can find their name. FTR. Let me see what they changed their name to. Let's see, what are they called now? Yeah, I forgot. I think one of them is like Cash something, and that's good. Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, apparently there's a rumor. I don't know if you heard this rumor, that apparently the Nexus is coming back.
Nexus is coming back to WWE.
I'm assuming WWE. I didn't investigate. Let me see. Yeah, apparently they were supposed to come at this year's WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
Who? Let's see. Apparently, Darren Young announced it. Let me see. Who would have been there? I mean, would Wade Barrett? I'm assuming Wade Barrett's in another company. Let me see. Who would have? I mean, who would have heard turn? Like Wade Barrett, Heath Slater, and Daniel Bryan was part of that group briefly, I think for like a day. So he like choked out one of the referees, and then was it Justin Roberts, the announcer, and then they fired him. And Bray Wyatt was in that group too, as Husky Harris, but I mean, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't return.
Yeah, I remember it was Bray Wyatt. It was
Wade Barrett, Ryback. But he was Skip Sheffield, and yeah, he's not coming back because he's on bad terms with them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really see that. Well, according to Darren Young, who was, he was part of Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serving me right. Before he joined part time player with Titus O'Neil.
Wow, that'd be great if the Nexus comes
back.
But then they're gonna have to have. I mean, it's not gonna be the same because they're obviously not gonna have all the members.
Yeah, if you don't have Wade Barrett, that's it. You cannot have the Nexus without Wade.
Yeah, it won't make any sense.
And then if you remember, CM Punk literally kicked Wade Barrett out of the group and took leadership,
mm-hmm.
and then Wade Barrett formed a imitation Nexus group called the Core.
I remember that
briefly,
yep.
But that didn't lead up to anything except for Santino Marella creating a good guy group called the Apple to mock the Core. Ever since John Cena squashed them in that Survivor Series match, I mean, that was really the end of Nexus. All the momentum that the Nexus had was squashed. Yeah, that I'd have to believe that to see it. I mean, Nexus would only work if Wade Barrett is there.
Yeah, I agree.
If you don't have
Wade
Barrett, if you don't have Wade Barrett there, what's the point? I'm trying to think. Well, who are the memorable members were there? Obviously, there was Heath Slater. I think Justin Gabriel was in that group too, but but he left. He's in another company. I think he's PJ Black now. But yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Who would be in this new next? Who moved on and left the different companies? But I guess we'll never know, or we'll find out once this coronavirus thing is over, and we go back to some sort of normalcy. You know, with fans. Speaking of that, yeah, it was great to see WWE took our advice, you know. Looks like that someone might be listening to our show, you know, because we were saying that for a while that they should have fans in the audience like AEW.
Yep.
And it's a whole lot better, like having the audience, even though it's, NXT members and, NXT people trying to try out for NXT, / enhancement talent for some of them who make a little call up, for the Raw or SmackDown. It's good to have people, cheering on. But I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm just trying to think what else happened on
NXT. I saw AEW, but what happened on NXT again?
Oh, NXT, they Adam Cole, the NXT world champion, he spoke to William Regal, who's the GM, and basically he finally agreed to face Velveteen Dream so he could put a end to Velveteen Dream, challenging him for the title, because I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, Velveteen Dream finally had his you know, finally had his title shot, you know. But Adam Cole's group, Undisputed Era, interfered and cost them the match. But now Velveteen Dream has his shot coming up at In Your House, which I think is next Saturday, I think, or in the future. Or is it June 11? June 14th. I think there's a pay-per-view event on June 14th. I can't remember.
That's a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's when that pay-per-view is. But that'd be an interesting match. But other NXT news, Matt Riddle, he lost to his brief tag team partner, Tactor, and in a what was that match? It was like a cage fight match. I don't know if you saw that part. That was like the main event, wasn't it? I think. I think you said you didn't see it, right? You only saw AEW.
Yeah, only AEW.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So basically, Matt Riddle, he tapped. Oh yeah. By the way, Kurt Angle, he signed last week. He's a special guest referee of that match. And then he announced on SmackDown that Matt Riddle is going to make his home in SmackDown. And reportedly, Matt Riddle has heat with Brock Lesnar because he's been talking smack for a while now about Brock Lesnar and Goldberg and how he could, you know, out-wrestle them and all that stuff. So, yeah, apparently Brock Lesnar confronted him and basically told him that, you know, he needs to get his name out of his mouth and that he's never going to face him. So that might be the reason why he's on SmackDown instead of Raw. Because if he's not going to get no title shot against Brock, even though Brock is not the, obviously he's taking another vacation. And Drew McIntyre, who Brock Lesnar lost to in less than 5 minutes at WrestleMania, he's the current champion, and finally, Bobby Lashley, you know, is finally getting a push. He hasn't had an opportunity to wrestle for the title since, like, 13 years? I think it's in 2008. Like he hasn't had a chance to wrestle for the title. So, you know, hopefully I would wish he'd win the title, but that's not going to happen anytime soon because Drew McIntyre, you know, won the title for the first time ever at WrestleMania. Waited, 13 years to finally win it. So, yeah, Bobby Lashley, after he, you know, most likely he'll lose to Drew McIntyre. The best thing for him would be for him to get traded to SmackDown and defeat Braun Strowman. Because I think WWE cares more about keeping the title on Drew McIntyre than keeping it on Braun Strowman. What's your thoughts?
I was distracted. People keep sending you these videos of these protests and riots that's going on, and
mm-hmm.
it's unbelievable. But you were mentioning Braun Strowman and the title right now. Braun Strowman right now is in a position where he can go on the title run like Diesel went on the title run back in 95, where Diesel held the title for a year. Same thing with Strowman. He could potentially hold the title until next year's WrestleMania, maybe, and then probably lose it to either Wyatt or Roman Reigns. That's how I see this playing out, because I don't think anyone right now is going to beat him for that title. Not Otis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not his upcoming match with
Miz and Morrison.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He'll beat them with one hand.
Yep.
You know, that's not even a debate, but
he'll even do a running parson with both of them at the same time. Calling it. That's how the match is going to end.
But you could see him potentially holding this out until next year, maybe. So it could happen. Could happen.
That's why I felt it was so dumb that they rushed him fighting Bray Wyatt already. They should have had Bray Wyatt lose to him at SummerSlam and then wait until, you know, like Survivor Series or WrestleMania for them to have their match where he's going to fight The Fiend.
I agree.
I think they should have held off that Bray Wyatt and his fight a little longer, because this match should have been like a major pay-per-view event match. This should have been at the very earliest a SummerSlam match. You know what I'm saying? They rushed it, man. I like the build up. I like the storyline, but knowing that he wasn't going to lose the title, I mean, just, you know, which is basically what's kind of happened with Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. You know, Bobby Lashley's not going to win the title anytime soon from him. But hopefully Lashley will look strong, and when he eventually loses the title, Lashley will finally win that title, the elusive title, because WWE, man, they gotta build new stars.
Lashley is getting a push, so
hopefully,
you know, we can see that Lashley Lesnar matchup that we've been waiting for to see years.
I don't think that match is gonna happen unless Lashley gets that title.
I just don't
see it happening. But you know, we'll see what happens with that. What was I gonna say? What's your thoughts on the MLB season? Doesn't look like it's going to start, man. That's the rumor, because they're still having disputes. They're supposed to come to a decision early June so that they could possibly play, you know, July 3rd, you know, at the earliest. But it looks like the players are not looking hopeful.
Yeah, I'm hearing maybe they're aiming for July, like the NBA, maybe. But right now, who knows? You know, I heard that a lot of minor league players were cut more than normal.
Yeah.
More than normal around this time because of this COVID-19. So, you know, a lot of players right now are without a job, without a salary. And it's very unfortunate, you know. But, you know, this COVID-19 has ruined a lot of things. So, don't know when the season's going to start. But I know one thing. The Yankees will be healthy when it does, because Paxton sounds like, you know, his surgery was a success several months ago. So, if the season started next month or in July, he'd be ready to go. So,
that's a good one.
We'll see. Yeah. But I don't know, man. It's got to see what the players' union agrees to. And, I mean, I'm also hearing that if they do start the season, you know, they're going to do that realignment where they have American League and National League teams mixed up in one division. I mean, that I'm not going to like. That's a stupid idea.
I think it's a dumb idea. I mean, you know what
I'm
saying?
That's like spring training.
It is. That's exactly what the alignment is, spring training.
Yeah.
Realignment. Like you're playing to the rumor is that they might have, you know, this realignment might be like this mixed realignment. There'll be no National League, American League. And you're basically playing against your spring training opponents, which I think is a really dumb idea. I mean, I warmed up to the idea of the DH because, hey, you know, I have no choice. And the Mets, they're the team in the National League that would benefit from it the most. I mean, Braves is another team that, you know, and Nationals was another team that, you know, this would also go in their advantage as well. But, yeah, I mean, I just want to see a season start, man. If, you know, hey, I'm down for whatever will make the Mets win the championship as soon as possible. So, you know, hopefully everything will go the Mets' way and they can shock the world, you know.
Well, right now, the Mets, I mean, you know, with this deal that's going on with the Wilpons desperately wanting to sell the team now because of this COVID-19, you know, but yet they still want a slice of the pie in the SNY network.
Yeah.
Because that's their moneymaker right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of – I read somewhere where it said that in 2000 – I think it was 2013 or 17. I forget what year it was. The Wilpons – the Mets value was – the Mets value was came mostly from the SNY network.
Mm-hmm.
I think their value was $2.1 million, and 1.2 of that came from SNY.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a lot of money coming from SNY, a lot of revenue.
Oh, yeah.
Big profit.
Because, I mean, SNY is awesome, man. You know, the announcers, you know, the people they have, you know, they're brutally honest. I mean, it works. The fans, you know, like myself, love it, you know. But
it's the company that owns SNY. You know, they're paying Mets a lot of money right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and something that would be really good, you know, is if they're successful at selling the team. And the latest rumor is that A-Rod and J-Lo are secretly trying to, you know, make another bid to try to make a deal so that they can own the Mets and basically turn, you know, Citi Field into Madison Square Garden-wise, you know, event-wise with, you know, concerts and having celebrities, you know, in the front row or in this case, you know, center field. No, not center field, you know, behind the catchers, you know, behind the catcher in the – you know, like behind, you know, the catch behind the catcher in the, you know, the front row. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It escapes me for the moment. But, yeah, you know, make it a main attraction. And, you know, most importantly, they're going to try to, you know, put a competitive team out there and spend the money, you know, and just, you know, that's what the Mets fans want. Spend the money wisely and help put a winner on the team, you know. That's what the Mets fans want. They want a chance at a title, you know. So whoever they sell, whoever eventually buys the team, if the Wilpons do finally sell the team, because they backed out of deals with David Einhorn, they backed out of deals recently with Steve Cohen. So until, you know, the ink is dried and you know, a signature other than the Wilpons are signed on the dotted line as the new owners of the Mets, I'm not going to believe it. So, you know, we'll just see what happens. You know, but hey, like the late great Doug McGraw said, you gotta believe. So, I guess I'm cautiously optimistic, but more so on the side of cautious, because I believe when I see it. Oh, but one more thing about the Mets, Sandy Alderson, he recently did an interview, and you know, he was saying like, he felt that if Familia didn't give up that home run on the quick pitch, you know, in Game 1 of the World Series, he felt the World Series would have had a different outcome, a happy ending, you would say, for the Mets fans. Which I totally agree with him. You know, the Mets had the lead in every single game, but unfortunately, due to Familia's ineffectiveness and the defense, you know, they blew every single game. You know, Familia blew 3 saves as a result, the most in World Series history. You know, the game started off with a home run. I mean, that right there, I'm sure it showed you, you know, the that the Mets was in a nightmare. I mean, if you even remember this show, you know, we have the I have the evidence. If you watch the episodes leading up or during the World Series or even after the World Series, I was afraid to face the Royals because the Royals were very similar to us. They played like a National League team. They stole bases. They played good defense. They were pesky, kind of like the 2001 Angels. You know, they were American League team masqueraded as a National League team, and they were, you know, they were too similar to us. I was worried about them. Did I think we were gonna lose to them? I don't know. I mean, I was optimistic about my Mets finally winning, but again, you know, until the Mets get that fourth win in the World Series, you know, that's when I'll breathe a sigh of relief. But, you know, I thought Mets had a shot, but, you know, it sucks. You know, another year, Mets go without a title. But, yeah, I truly believe if the Mets would have faced the Toronto Blue Jays, they would have got they would have beat them. Because I think Mets pitching would have stopped all those sluggers. But that Royals offense was so balanced, you know, pesky, base stealers. Like, I mean, geez, like Kane, I think Kane stole another base right now as I'm talking to you right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were a pesky team, man.
It was just the Royals' year, you know?
Yeah.
Call it as it is. It was just the Royals' year.
It was. I hate to say it. I mean, it was their 30th year anniversary. You know, they did it. They did what they had to do. And they won their second ever championship, you know? But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, that's the first time in Mets history and in World Series history that the Mets lost to a non-dynasty team. Obviously, you know, in the 73, they were in the middle of that Oakland A's dynasty team. And, of course, you know, the Yankees in 2000, 20 years ago, you know, that was their last championship before 09. So that was their last championship during that dynasty, that dynasty era of the 90s. So, you know, there's no shame of the Mets losing. You know, Mets lose to, you know, teams, you know. They lost to dynasty teams up until that point, you know. And then they lost to Royals, who, like those A's teams of the 70s and the Yankees of the late 90s, early 2000s, they were all team of destinies, you know. And even though Mets have the grit, you know, historically, overcome so many obstacles, amazing obstacles, you know, they couldn't stop the Royals, you know. If they would have played a little bit better here and there and held on to the lead, you know, especially when game one, which is the same thing I could say about 2000, you know, who knows what could have happened. But because all the games for the most part were close games. You know, but it is what it is, man. Game five, man. They had the lead. They had Matt Harvey on the mound. He had to argue to stay into the game. And then by the time he got back, he lost his mojo. And his career was basically essentially over. I mean, he had Tommy John surgery or thoracic outlet surgery or something like that. He had a bunch of surgeries at that time. He was never the same again. And, the Mets have never been the same again either, ever since then. So we'll see what happens if this season comes back.
Hopefully sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if this season does come, we do have a season this year. As a Yankee fan, who are you more – who do you think the season is more – who do you think will be the most important player, the X factor for the Yankees? Will it be Giancarlo Stanton, or will it be I'm trying to think, Garrett Cole?
definitely be Jericho. No question about it. You know, we signed to that big contract. You know, he's supposed to be our ace. So he's going to be the guy that is going to lead this team to the championship that we've been craving the last 11 years. So he's going to be the main guy to focus on. Failure is not an option. So he has to succeed and get us to the promised land. And hopefully he'll do that. And hopefully we can get 20 wins out of him, maybe an ERA around 2 or just under 2, 200 strikeouts. That'd be a great season if he accomplishes those statistics. We'll see. But he's definitely the guy that, you know, the spotlight will be on.
He's the straw that stirs the drink. The Yankees.
I'm sorry.
He's the straw that stirs the Yankees' drink if they have any chance of, you know, ending their championship drought.
Yeah, yeah, you know, he's the guy that will ignite everything. I think so. It all starts with him.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, he's their big free agent signing. You know, they need that guy. You know, like they said, pitching wins championship.
Yep.
And you need that guy to be on his A game.
Yes, sir.
He's got to be on that DeGrom level that, you know, he teased this past year. You know,
I think he's better than DeGrom.
Yeah, you're saying that because now he's wearing pinstripes. But I digress.
We'll see. We shall see.
Yep. Let him try to win the Cy Young Award back-to-back and belly-to-belly, and then we'll see, you know, we'll see if he's on the ground level.
You know,
until then, DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball. I'm just hoping that the Mets will not waste his talent and score some runs for him, hopefully with this DH rules, and hopefully make him end his career at least as a champion.
Well, that's a good thing you brought up the DH, because now that there is DH, we're going to see how inflated some of these pitchers' numbers were in the National League. We're going to see if some of these National League pitchers pitch the same way like they did before the DH was introduced.
So are you trying to say that DeGrom isn't that good?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, there are some pitchers in National League whose numbers are the way they are because they don't have the DH. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, that's true.
So we're going to see when a DH is introduced if some of these National League pitchers can still pitch the same way they did before the DH was introduced. If they have inflated numbers, then you're gonna have to question, okay, maybe, you know, having the pitcher in the lineup hitting against these pitchers, maybe, you know, it caused their numbers to be higher than it was supposed to be. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I agree with that.
Just saying, you know.
I also agree, you know, with the saying, you know, the cream rises to the top. They're really that good, you know, they'll perform.
Exactly.
If they don't just flash in the pen, then they'll be exposed.
Yeah, if the Grom pitches the same way against a DH every start, then, you know, you have to give him credit.
Yeah, I think he's
in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but the problem is the team, man. They don't score any runs for him. That's the problem. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah. And another thing is, with this huge layoff, will it have an effect on him? That's another thing. I think next year would be 2021 is the real indication, because we don't know what the effect of everybody not playing so long. They're out of a rhythm, and you know these pitchers need a rhythm. You know, will it affect them or not? I don't know. I'm not saying he's gonna have a bad year. I mean, you know he should still be in the running for trying to get a three-peat of a Cy Young Award, but, you know, time will tell. If we do start this season, hopefully next month, or well, I should say in July, you know, we'll see. We'll see if, you know, we'll see if it'll have an effect on him or another you know, top pitchers. But anything you'd like to say?
Well, you know, again, like, I just did my show and I have my thoughts on what's going on right now as far as these protests and riots in the wake of George Floyd's death. For any of you guys who are protesting, just do it peacefully and try not to do it in a violent manner, you know, or destroy property or fight police, you know, just do it peacefully. You know, like Martin Luther King and Gandhi wanted us to do it, you know? Talk. Let's all come together as the one race and try to end this police brutality and racism, you know? Do it in a peaceful manner. We don't need any more violence. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You know, we, you know, it's understandable people are, you know, are upset. You know, they're frustrated about, you know, the injustice that's going on, you know, that's been going on for hundreds of years in this country. But, you know, people got to be careful, you know, not to live up to stereotypes and have other people, you know, the few people who are, you know, fighting people and looting, you know, affect everybody else who's trying to do stuff peacefully. So, you know, let's hopefully just continue to have a peaceful dissent, you know, because, you know, that's the only way things are going to change, you know.
Well, right now, from what I've seen, well, there's no, like, many people that's going to agree with us right now, from what I'm seeing.
I mean, you know, people are frustrated. I mean, every time on the news, there's seem like a new person that's getting killed. Unarmed person, black person getting killed, you know. But, you know, we gotta focus on the people who are peacefully protesting and not just zero in on the people who are doing wrong, you know, by looting and, you know, doing all these other crimes, man. You know, we just gotta, you know, I don't even know what to say, man. It's just a tough situation, man. My thoughts go out to, you know, all the victims, you know, of this crime. You know, it's crazy. I mean, there's literally no words, man. But, you know, I don't even know what to say, man. Let's just pray for a brighter tomorrow, you know, because, you know, it's not looking good out here right now. But, I mean, let's just pray for a brighter future.
Yep.
You know, like I think like Martin Luther King said, you know, hate, to paraphrase what he said, hate can't fight hate. Only love could do that. But, you know, people, you know, just got to continue to voice their opinions, you know, in a peaceful light, because obviously people are upset with all these injustices that's going on. So, you know, again, my thoughts and prayer go out to the Floyd family and all victims of these racist crimes. So, you know, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Memo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.